It's my honor to introduce our first keynote, Rob Rosenberg. Excuse me, Rob Rosenberger. He's the editor of VMyths, which is a respected watchdog of the antivirus industry. In 1996, Rob became one of the first information warfare crew chiefs in the Air Force. On September 11th, the Air Force activated him for non-computer reasons to support emergency medical airlift missions. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Rosenberger.
Well, that was nice. Thank you. The quote that you see up here on the screen is from Admiral James Stockdale. You may remember him from Ross Perot's Running Mate. He floored the House when he went to the vice presidential debates and said this as his first words out of his mouth. And I need to borrow this quote from him, because if you don't know who I am and you don't know why I'm here, then you're not going to understand what my keynote is about today. And who I am and why I'm here is probably best summed up by the emails that occurred between me and CERT. CERT wrote to me last year. I think it was before the attacks. Everything before the attacks is kind of jumbled in my head right now. But they said, hey, we just learned that you give invited keynote speeches at classified computer security conferences. We'd like to consider your material for our conference. Please submit a lecture. Now, you've got to have gonads swinging down to here to ask a guy, please send us your top secret lectures and we'll decide, if your keynote speech is worthy of a 5 o'clock Friday. And I get these every once in a while. It's, oh, wow, you must work for the CIA. And I wish. Be on the agency like Kevin Mitnick. But so I usually mail them back and I say, thanks, but no thanks. I decline. The intelligence world invites me because I tell the truth. You don't want the truth. Your audience wants hype. You want, you want infotainment. And I don't see that changing. So I gave him a couple of names up here. Russ Cooper, the Surgeon General of the Internet. Let's all clap for the Surgeon General of the Internet. What is the Surgeon General of the Internet? Now stop. So I gave him a couple of names, and you never expect these to come back. Did I just flash myself? And what does the instruction say? Do not stare at laser with remaining on. You don't have to tell me twice. So I gave him that, and I knew they were going to write back, and they said, no, our attendees really do want to hear the truth. You give them your Jack Nicholson impersonation. You can't handle the truth. They come back, we can't handle the truth. Please submit one of your classified lectures so that we can consider you for our conference. Well, I called their bluff at that point, and I always do this. And in every case, except for CERT, I said, look, if you give me the opening keynote, I'll come and I'll tell you the truth. But otherwise, I don't care. And I'll come at my own expense, fly in, I'll stay at the fan club's house. I'll do it all for free. All you have to do is give me the opening keynote, and I'll come and tell you the truth. And then you can go off and, you can buy Elias Levy as a keynote. And a long time passed, and then they really did. They wrote back and, oh, okay, you're the keynote speaker. You're the opening keynote. But please stay at the hotel at our expense so our people can have more access to you. So I'm in the DoubleTree Hotel. Killer place, by the way. I recommend it if you can afford CERT's money. And by the way, I was timing this lecture. This is going to be an extra item on your bill. I was borrowing some materials up on the sixth floor. And that includes the Snickers bar. But I'm in room 210. I'm at the DoubleTree Hotel. If the sign's out there, it says do not disturb, please be like the maids and do not disturb me. Otherwise, if the sign's not there, I really am available to you for the entire conference. Because that's what they asked for, and I had to move some stuff around in my lectures just so that I could make this conference. I did not expect that I was going to be invited here. But so you have to understand this too. Technically speaking, yes, I was invited to give the opening keynote, but unlike Elias tomorrow, I don't have a product or service to sell, or Elias' replacement. Unlike the guy, Joel, the day after, he's got a book to hawk. I don't have a book to hawk. So if you don't like the truth, if you can't handle the truth, you're going to have to find some other rationalization to ignore what I've got to tell you today. Okay? And the truth is that you mean nothing to Joe Sixpack. You are irrelevant to the average Joe Blow out there who's drinking beers and having a good time and going to work from 9 to 5 and doing whatever it is he does. He doesn't understand that you're the important heroic firefighter, that you're the important heroic cop. You know, when he sees, you know, these patriotic symbols on the screen, he sees a guy in a big huge jacket that runs up the stairs and goes and saves, you know, I'm on the way down the stairs, he's on the way up the stairs, you know, but it's okay. I secured my computer. You go take care of the fire. They don't understand how important you are. You're nothing to, for example, a grandmother on Social Security. Okay, the only reason she bought a PC was so that she could deal with her knitting club and so she could email the grandkids. She's already a denial of service attack zombie. She's already spreading viruses. Where do you think CERCAM is coming from? Grandma, would you please get some antivirus software? That's what it's all about. What more harm could this woman possibly do? Oh, well, hackers could break into the IRS mainframe and you won't get your Social Security check. So what? Grandma votes. Grandma knows that Congress is going to come down to banks and say, just pay the old biddy this month. But come up with some money. I don't want to get unelected, you know? I don't want to be like Bush. So they don't worry about this. Grandma knows that she probably lived through the Depression or something like that, you know, where they didn't have any money. She's been through stock market collapses and things like that. This is nothing to her. I'm going to vote with the AARP against anybody who doesn't give me any money when I don't have any. And then, of course, Code Red to her means, you know, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's what it means to her. Code Red means hip replacement to her. It doesn't mean, you know, like Elias Levy running around on TV doing whatever it is that he does. She doesn't care about what he says. That's what Code Red means to her. And you mean nothing to a steel worker in Pittsburgh. Absolutely nothing. These guys have stubby fingers. Stubby fingers are not good with a keyboard. Type. Mush, mush, mush. Enter. That's the way it is to them, you know. He only bought a PC for his daughter in college. And he's standing there at Best Buy. Why does this screen cost $375 and this screen only costs $75? Well, that screen is a TV screen. This screen is a computer screen. He doesn't care about that. He just, all he knows is that you're stealing his money from him. And this guy, Code Red to him, means slag has spilled. Watch out, Code Red! Or it's the name of the $3 bottle of whiskey when he needs an eye-opener. Or it's the name of the $200 Nike tennis shoes that his daughter wants to wear in college. Daddy, they're high heels. I have to get them. Right? That's what Code Red means to him. And you mean nothing to an auto worker in Detroit. Did I mention the part about the stubby fingers? Right? And this guy only wants a PC that's built by a union shop. That's what security is to him. Who built that box? Which local union molded that steel? Right? He wants computer viruses. He wants computer viruses. You know why? Because they'll infect the Japanese robots that are taking away union jobs. Yeah, go ahead, hack in there, Mr. Whatever, what's your CB handle? Butch, yeah, Butch, you go ahead and hack in there. You kill those little robots out there. You know what Code Red means to this guy? Code Red means, wow, cat strike. You okay? I can get a waitress. And by the way, if anybody's telephone goes off, I win. No, don't think I don't do that. But he only wants a PC that's built by a union shop. He wants the virus to destroy it. And Code Red to him means a wildcat strike is imminent. Do we join our brothers at Local 14-1, right? That's what they mean. And you know what NIMDA means to him, right? NIMDA is the name of the Japanese automobile that is taking away union jobs from Americans. That is what NIMDA means to him. You mean nothing. Other than that, you mean nothing to him. Your computer security functions are irrelevant to this guy. You mean nothing to a Midwest farmer. There's no log on screen for a John Deere tractor. It's a rusty nail bent, you know, 45 degree angle. Up fires a diesel engine. Man, he's got GPS in the tractor, but that's it. He's worried about agriculture terrorism, not cyber terrorism. He's worried about mad cow disease being deliberately spread to his cows. He's worried about some sort of horrible disease delivered to his pigs, because he knows, you know, Osama bin Laden's going to come after his pigs. That's what they really worry about. How many people here are from the East Coast or the West Coast? East Coast, West Coast? Welcome to flyover country. We have these things called, well, they're smudgy meat. They're like regular meat, except they still have legs and they still walk around and they still are like amortizing. Maybe that's the word you would use. And we're afraid, as farmers in the Midwest, we're afraid that we're going to get attacked and we're going to have those things. They don't worry about that. They're wondering why the FBI's National Infrastructure Protection Center is ignoring meats and vegetables and wool and cotton. See this? This is cotton. This is what he's worried about as a farmer. why aren't you, you know, I mean, did you have any meats or vegetables today? Yeah, really? You chopped down on meats and vegetables. What a coincidence. They're wondering why FBI Gypsy doesn't understand that. And by the way, code red to him means a cow has bleeding udders. Oh man, I'm gonna have to sell my milk to the cheese factory instead of the milk factory. Why do you think milk is white and cheese is not white? Right? You don't know. Thanks for sharing. I live 6 miles from a cheese factory where the Amish take their bleeding udder stuff. It is really disgusting. You really need to see cheese in being made. It's disgusting. And you mean nothing to these people. You mean nothing to a professional trucker. It's only by coincidence that his CB handle is Mudge. And oh wow, you mean there was a CB guy named Mudge? He met the president? That's really cool. Wow, hey, rubber ducky, I'm famous, right? He sends email from a truck stop kiosk. That's all he knows of you. You're irrelevant to him other than that. Hey, honey, I picked up a load of steel in Pittsburgh. I'm going to take it down to the auto dealers in Detroit. They're going to build a car for my stuff. I'll see you when I get back. That's all he cares. Now, if you were a dangerous Uber hacker, and you were to break into all of the global positioning system satellites out there, the GPS satellites, this guy doesn't care because he has this hard copy device called a road atlas. Oh, crud, my thing's not telling me I'm speeding anymore. Well, now what? Well, I guess I better go back to my map.yahoo.com. Right? They've got road atlases. Well, I'm not sure if anybody who's learned to drive since 97 would know what a road atlas is, but I certainly do. And code red to him means there's a speed trap. There, rubber ducky, slow on down. I'm going to have to pay $75 for that laser light show. Right? A little laser light show. Woo! And that's what it means to him. And you mean nothing to an Amish family. I live right next to an Amish family. The guy, I have uninterruptible power in my basement. We're in my server room, and the guy 9 doors up doesn't have electricity. My wife is like, you know, I'm missing the point here, Rob. And I'm like, no, really. Never trust an Amish electrician. Our house was built by an Amish. So, they mean nothing to an Amish family. To quote Weird Al Yankovic, they haven't paid a phone bill in 300 years. Right? They don't even know what a 56 baud modem is, let alone 56K. Oh, man, these guys, most of them quit school after the 8th grade. The only thing that they really read is the Bible, and that's the first thing they pick up when you talk about the internet. You know, oh, the Lord forbids internet before marriage. That's what it is. They don't care about that. Oh, man, it's sad, you know. And Elias Levy is going to come down here, or he was, and he's going to talk to you about Code Red. And sure enough, what did they do? They used him as a fish wrapper. And all of his quotes in the local newspaper, which I do have, were used to keep slimy, smelly, scaly, water-breathing animals off of the bottom of the buggy to keep it clean. That's what the Amish think of Code Red. We actually, in our little town, our local fish wrapper, which is what I call it, August 1st, Code Red to slow internet today. And so I'm like, yep, yeah, and they're using that to take care of fryers and things like that. You mean nothing at all to a stockbroker in New York City. Absolutely nothing. And let me tell you why. First off, he thinks you're chief hacking officer and your surgeon general work in the PR department. Oh, surgeon general of the internet. That's really smart, man. That'll get you a lot of marketing. These guys, the only concern that they have about your computer security stuff is, what's your price to earnings ratio? Is it 4 digits? My goodness, that's horrible. Is it negative? Your price to earnings, that's all they care about, computer security firms. And these guys ran in terror from a 20-story tall, billowing wall of dust, plowing down on them 25 miles an hour. That's what they know about terrorism. Computer security means nothing to them, because all of their computers got squished anyway with their friends. That's really what it means to those guys. And Code Red Team means that the stock market is crashing. Has anybody watched the latest stock market stuff? I do. Oh, I turned on Bloomberg just to, oh, it's another day, they're going down. What about the latest worm? Screw the latest worm. That's what they care about. They care about money. Your stuff means nothing to them. And most important of all, you mean nothing to an Al-Qaeda terrorist. Nothing. These guys live off the land. They sleep in Afghanistan caves. They wield AK-47s. They ride into combat on a horse. Woo! Oh yeah, that's high tech. And they shoot at guys with hair like mine. I'm not going bald. It's just the way it's... Okay, I'm going bald. I promise to the truth. I promise to the truth. But these guys live off the land. They don't understand this. You heard the Pakistani president, I think, came out and said, you know, I don't think that Osama was technologically sophisticated enough. This is somebody else's doing. This guy is, you know, I can just see Osama, you know, with his brilliant Uber hackers. Okay, we're going to have to leave our copper cave, and we're going to have to go out onto our camels, and we're going to have to ride out to the nearest cellular tower, and, we're gonna have to, and then we're going to ping them. yeah, that's right. No, this guy loves the exquisite finality of a simple bayonet thrust. He doesn't want to kill you with a hard disk. He wants to kill you with a knife. That's what he really wants to kill you with. He wants to feel that slide into you, and he wants to watch your eyes glaze over. And preferably, he wants to die in the process so he can go to Valhalla or wherever it is, and he can go off and have the vestual virgins waiting on him hand and foot for the rest of eternity. Okay? This guy likes to strap explosives to his or her chest, they're doing it with women now, and if they had their way, they would come out to you, and they would kill everybody in the front row, and then they'd go, bah, boom! That's what they would do to you. That's what the terrorists really want to do. Ping packets? No, I'm sorry, they don't like to do ping packets. They like to fly jets into skyscrapers. Kind of high tech, I have to learn how to drive. That's what I really have to learn how to do. And no, a 500-byte ping packet does not equal a 500-pound bomb. When they see a B-52 coming over the head, they do not think ping, or they do not think RM-R. Okay, I will kill them all with an RM-R. And Elias Levy is going to kill us all with an RM-R. /bin/lot. Yeah, that's right. So why doesn't Joe Sixpack care about this? Why doesn't Joe Sixpack care about all the cool things that we do to keep him alive? Well, first of all, we constantly over-dramatize. Am I not over-dramatizing? He said, I'm doing it for comedy. I'm doing it to get you to laugh a little bit. You guys aren't. As a society, as a computer security industry, you guys over-dramatize, and you're the guys who cried there might be a wolf. ISS, Internet Security Systems, those guys are running the really cool ads. I love the ads, except for the virus guy. He's stupid. But I love watching those ISS ads on CNN and on Headline News, and they talk about how there might be a wolf. Remember ISS on September 11th, when FBI agents were jumping into cars, and some of them were powerful enough to get the Air Force to fly them in planes, to, I don't know, gaping little holes in New York City and then Washington, D.C. and in Pennsylvania. They're rushing off, and what did ISS do? They sat in their back cubicles, and they watched out just in case Osama might be attacking e-commerce. Oh yeah, jumping up in their little e-commerce, watching out for bat stuff. And they've warned for 14 years. As a society, we have warned how it could have been so much worse. My God, Michelangelo could have been so much worse in 92. My God, Melissa could have been so much worse in 99. Do you know what Code Red could have done if that author had been thinking straight? Do you know what NIMDA could have done if that author had been thinking straight? And then guys like me at VMITS, that's what we do. We come out and we make you look bad. We make fun of you at VMITS because we know that comedy is the best weapon that we can use against the hysteria that is coming out here. When you overdramatize, you create cannon fodder for us at VMITS. That's why we're using comedy. And by the way, at VMITS, we don't have anything to sell. We sell the truth. That's really what we sell out there. You can't buy anything from us. We have nothing to sell. You can't buy advertising from us because you're in the computer security industry. When we formed VMITS, we said no computer security advertising. I wiped out our most lucrative source of income, and I took a serious pay cut just because of the fact that I didn't want to have all of that irony facing me. Oh, wow, we're promoting the very irony we seek to destroy, the very hysteria. So when we come out there and we do that, and the reason that you're constantly over-dramatizing is because you really have no metrics, especially in the antivirus industry. The antivirus software that you have creates data and then deletes it at the 100K mark. Because as we all know, a 120 gigabyte hard disk might fill up. So we have to stop at 100K. We delete that data. We've been deleting it for 16 years in the antivirus industry. You rely on basically very little more than anecdotes and what ifs. You're relying on urban legends too. No offense to one of our speakers, Casey, right here. Casey has verbally confirmed that the mafia is now doing hits over the internet. They're killing people off the internet. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to have to go up there and I'm going to have to batch one of our speakers today. That's great. You sit there and you do that. And by the way, the plural of data, the plural of anecdote is not data. Okay, I stole that line from a guy in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, when you fail to come up with all this data and you're just using what ifs, You make it cannon fodder for us, and we go out at meetings and we make you look bad. Dan Irwin is a Lifetime Achievement Award winner with the Computer Security Institute. Dan Irwin is famous for giving a lecture on how to use media as your exploitive tool to get more manpower, more budget, more bonuses, you know, bigger raises. It's great, and he teaches you, and because it's in the media, you can use it. Why? Because there's nothing else to use. That's really sad. And it's because you have no metrics that you insist that the users take you at face value as a society. I like to call you a society because you're going to find out why in a minute. But as a society, you insist that people take you at face value. You take that 10 star way too seriously. Oh, you take that seriously. And you're like little dictators, just like Saddam Hussein. You get to make and enforce the laws. Some of you might actually go home to your little company or your little agency or wherever it is you work for, and you might say, well, our users can't know about VMITs. And somebody's gonna stand up and say, whoa, where does it say that I can't go to a computer security website? It says it right here. That's your hand, you wrote on your hand, you can't do that. Yes, I can, I make and enforce the laws. And then guys like me come out and make you look bad because who's our biggest source of intel? Your users. I love reading the stupid emails your society puts out. Here's Joe Sixpack's definition of cyber war. It is a state of media-declared hostilities consisting of one or more annoying script kiddie attacks launched by the websites of warring factions or their perceived sympathizers by one or more immature second-shift blurred reporters with cute CD handles who describe themselves as patriots in cyber arms and brag about their war crimes without fear of reprisal, for example, getting killed or taken prisoner, in an effort to drum up media exposure, which feeds their collective narcissistic personality disorder. It is also sometimes used as a precursor to run for political office. You watch, Senator John Edwards from, I think, North Carolina is going to run on a cyber terrorism platform for the 2004 presidential election. You watch. He's gearing up for that. You and Joe Sixpack interpret this photo a little bit differently. I'm going to show you this right here. What you would do, well, actually, you know what Joe Sixpack would say. Oh, horrible. These Arabs are you know, celebrating the fact that these people have died in this horrifying, you know, airline collision with a skyscraper. No, here's what you think. You see this girl right over here? See that girl right there? She is a cyber terrorist in training. And he is teaching her how to ping. Oh, he's teaching her to be scripted. And this kid right here, he's responsible for the CIA's website being defaced. My God, think of what those people could possibly do. I need more billions of dollars taken away from the physical terrorism fund, and I want to put it over here, and I want to defend our country against cyber terrorism. Yeah, I know that there's been no cyber terrorism yet, but my God, the horrors and atrocities. And you, as a society, you will actually do that. You will point out that stuff, and you will try and convince them through fear, uncertainty, and doubt, that horrifying FUD. And the beauty of this is that here's the kicker. If I was a terrorist, I would use you all as pawns. And here's the part that I was going to say. As a society, I call you that because you allow hysteria mongers, you allow the fear mongers, the doubt seekers, you allow the money grubbers to infect your society, to infect your business. It's okay to let them go off and do their thing because you profit from it. You let this status quo stay the same, and so you are a society. You allow this stuff internally to occur. Now, we know, as computer security professionals, we know that the Surgeon General of the Internet is an inside joke, but we don't want society, the outer society, to know that. So we form a little clique and we keep that to ourselves. I'm going to use your society against the rest of society. I would first launch a devastating cyber attack to freak you out. And I would announce it on the web that, oh, there's this horrible cyber attack coming. We're going to come in and this time we're going to destroy you. We're going to overchlorinate your water and make it smell like an overshocked YMCA pool. Yes, like that hasn't been happening for a century. We're going to fluoridate your water. The Floridians are going to be really destroyed because they're Floridia fluoridated. Yeah, and then all attention is going to turn to the internet. Why? Because you're going to let the hysteria mongers turn all of those little eyes, and then while FBI's National Infrastructure Protection Center is watching for the electrons, while CHOW, the Critical Infrastructure Research Office, is watching for electrons, that's when I'm going to fly an aircraft into a nuclear power plant. Now, I choose, since I'm the terrorist here, I choose the Iowa nuclear power plant because I don't live too far from it, and yes, my glow-in-the-dark Frisbees do need a recharge. So I'm going to fly my little nuclear power plant, I'm going to crash it, and then Grandma and the steel workers and the truckers and the farmers are all going to write you off as gullible wolf criers who helped the terrorists unwittingly. unwittingly help the terrorists. And here's the beauty of it. You're not going to let that slide. As a society, you're going to make every effort that you can through the fear mongers and the hysteria mongers and the other people. And you're going to tell them, no, 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 my God, that was plan B. Plan A was to destroy the internet. And because we were successful, we had to force them to plan B, and that's why they crashed an aircraft into a power plant. So, and you're going to make every effort to get yourselves into a position where I can use you at least one more time. I'm going to be able to use your fear and your uncertainty and your doubt if I was a terrorist, and I'm going to be able to use you one more time. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You're going to pay for that. I'm telling you, it's going to happen twice. When it first happens, you're going to make every effort as a society to do that. Unless Behemoth comes in and stops you. This is a picture of a woman. She's right there. She's fallen to the ground. You can tell that that's either the North Tower or the South Tower. She took 9 seconds to die. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, 6-1000, 7-1000, 8-1000, 9-1000. Splat! 9 seconds to die. Not once did she think about you. Not once did she think about, wow, what are happening to all my computers on the 78th floor as I plummet to my death. Not once did she care. Not once did the people who are watching this care about you. That's what's really sad here. And what you want to do as a society, and I'm serious about this, what you want to do as a society is you want to take billions of dollars away from people who watched the towers collapse, who ran from a 25-mile-an-hour, 20-story-tall, billowing wall of smoke. You want to take billions of dollars away from them, and you want to put it into a cyber-terrorism bot. And you want to take money out of that, and you want to protect them from electrons. Electrons is not what Joe Sixpack cares about. Joe Sixpack doesn't care about that at all. You need to keep that in mind. I'm representing Joe Sixpack here. Sadly, Joe Sixpack doesn't know that I'm representing him here. He doesn't care about me either. He doesn't know this conference exists, and he'll never care in the slightest. That's the end of my slideshow, but that's not the end of my lecture. It's time for me to go to part two. Why don't you go ahead and